Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today my guest is a man who has witnessed the miracles of faith and surrender and has learned firsthand the strength and the will that is required to begin life again when all is lost and hope is gone. Richard Ballow is the author of 4 books, including his most recent, Bullets and Babies and The Will to Live. And Richard says God had a vision for his life to be a writer, and when he accepted that purpose, it changed his life. As an author, Richard was led to witness how love, mercy, and forgiveness can transform an ordinary person into an extraordinary example of divine love, and how we never need to be alone in life, no matter what our circumstances are. Richard was widowed at 39 years old with 2 small sons to raise, and he was working as a technical writer while struggling with the devastating loss of his wife, Lisa, and the subsequent loss of his soon-to-be-adopted daughter, who he could not care for after his wife's death. Then, at a business development conference, he heard the story of a young woman paralyzed after being shot by her husband. The story and the subsequent process she went through to reclaim her life inspired Richard to travel across the country to meet and interview Janice Riddle, the subject of his book. Richard and Janice had quite a bit in common. Decades after Janice reclaimed her life, she passed away in her mid-60s, but her legacy remains an amazing and moving story recounted by Richard in his latest book. It is no lost irony that his life and the story of Janice's life have come full circle and given him the insight and understanding of the higher purpose of our lives and how we can heal ourselves through forgiveness, love, and mercy. Richard Ballow, it is just an exceptionally moving pleasure, and I say that because it's kind of an ironic term, to have you on the show, to have you share your story and the story of Janice Riddle, both of which are really amazing and inspiring stories. So, welcome.
Thank you, Georgiana. Pleasure to be here.
I'm so pleased you are. I'm going to ask you to begin at the beginning. It's quite a story. You have your story, and then you have Janice Riddle's story, which blend together and produce a really inspiring outcome. So why don't you jump in where you're the most comfortable? I don't know if you want to start with Janice, I don't know if you want to start with your own story, but please bring us to the point where you actually go cross country to do an interview.
All right. I guess I can start with, you know, my own loss, with my wife dying at age 38 and me raising 2 children. And like you said, I was at this business conference, and I found Janice's story very interesting. It was very complex, and I got permission to actually call her and decided that I did want to write her a story because it was really inspirational on one level for me personally, but I think her story also had it. More wide applications to other people. Here she was. She was basically, you know, didn't have much affection from her father, married a man who gave her attention, physical abuse, divorce, another husband. And then she was accidentally shot and paralyzed by that second husband. And to overcome all that just took an enormous amount of strength, but also divine intervention played a place in her life. So after talking with her and getting her story, I decided that I would fly across country to actually meet her because I wanted to actually see her, see the way she was living, so I could add more depth and more knowledge to the book so that the reader could really appreciate what she was going through and how she had transformed her life.
Yes, and there were several other interesting and kind of imperative pieces of information. This is a woman who became pregnant at 15 and who by the age of 19 had 3 children by an abusive husband. And also at the same time, you had lost not only your beloved wife and were you raising your son alone, but you and your wife were about to adopt a child. And you had to actually go through the loss of that child because you could not accept the child. You couldn't adopt the child because of circumstances with your wife's death. So here you are, you're a man who's come through, you know, tremendous emotional loss and, shall we say, you know, the pains of life. And here is this woman, Janice Riddle, who has also, from a very early age, experienced adversity, experienced loss, experienced trauma. And so you go to this conference, and I believe was somebody telling the story? How did that story come out? Because it wasn't part of the business conference. How did that story actually come up?
Yeah, that's quite correct. It's not part of the business conference. But in the conference, we broke into small groups for discussion. And we had to introduce ourselves, you know, what was our profession, what were we doing. And that's where I came and expressed myself as a writer, because that's what I have always done. And that's actually the gift I believe God gave me, was to write. So when I mentioned that, a woman piped up and said, a friend of mine in California is sharing a house with Janice Riddle. She started talking about it. And like you said, there are very many parallel lines within it. You know, after my wife died, I couldn't adopt the little girl we had had almost since birth, because I knew that she would need a strong father in her life to grow up healthy. And I couldn't provide that because, you know, emotionally I was shut down from my loss. So that's why I had to give her to another family through our adoption agency.
That must have been terrible. That must have been terrible, Richard. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think I would hurt as much as I did, but it was another loss.
Yes.
Because I felt guilty that I had given up on a child, something I didn't want to do.
Yes.
But I had to do it for her.
Yes, and here is the parallel with Janice Riddle. On the other side of the country, you're on the East Coast. She's on the West Coast. It's kind of like I mentioned to you, it was kind of like Sleepless in Seattle, cross coast there. And you hear this story. And was it an accident? I mean, isn't that part of what the amazing undertone of this story is? Was it an accident that you happened to be in a group, a group of people in a business conference where somebody is talking about Janice Riddle, who has had quite the life and quite a parallel experience of grief and loss that you have had. So you hear this story and you get permission to call her. And then I believe you told me at the pre-interview that you spoke with her for almost 2 years by phone, yes?
That's correct, because I would record the conversation. We'd talk about an hour or so, be able to. Then I had to transcribe it and pick the parts and put them in the correct order so that it could tell her story. You know, and sometimes she wasn't available to talk because of her physical illnesses. She had a lot of physical problems after the shooting because being paralyzed, she had bladder issues, blood poisoning, lung issues, just a lot of just physical issues that needed medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it took so long. But we were both coping with basically a new life.
Yes, yes.
And there's even one more spot that is kind of parallel, because I had moved from New England south to Florida. Janice had moved from Southern California to Oregon to begin her new life. So we both traveled coastlines to begin new lives.
Yes. Isn't it extraordinary? We were talking about this before. Isn't it extraordinary that while we're living our lives and planning our plans and, you know, doing our thing, there is this amazing presence, this energy, whatever we want to call it, everybody has a different name for it, but there's something else that's going on in our lives that we begin to become aware of. I mean, when did you start to get an inkling? When did you start to become aware, Richard, that, this may not be just a mere coincidence? You know, it may not be that I'm just a writer looking for a story. When did it start to, you know, dawn on you that there was a purpose, a deeper purpose for this meeting of Janice Riddle?
Well, I'd always thought that her story was going to be a good inspirational story for others. I hadn't thought about it in my own personal life or in the events that happened between us. But as I put the story together and looking at her timeline, I was just amazed at the similarities with, you know, traumatic incidences, children growing up, how we deal with our new lives, our new selves, and dealing with the world who sees us totally different than we were before our accidents or loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it started to dawn on you.
Yeah.
You started to say, whoa, wait a second here. Something's going on. And part of Janice's story, which, you know, it was very, very moving when you told me, and I would ask you to share the story of her despair and where she came to, that she gave her children to a neighbor and was about to do something that is irreversible when something quite miraculous happened. Would you share that with us?
Yes, I will. So after 6 months of being in hospitals and rehabilitation, she finally comes home in a wheelchair. She sees her house transformed, which was the first time she actually saw that her father loved her, that just that physical presence. But then her husband, who had shot her, started drinking. He couldn't face his own guilt at what he had done, even though everyone claimed it was accidental. So he's off drinking. The kids are scared. Her parents are demanding more of the children. And Janice is just trying to get used to what life is like now. So her husband goes off and helps somebody one night and doesn't return. She finally catches up with him and said, you know, or he says, you know, if I was a coward, I'd kill myself because of what I've done to you. But he left her. Left her with four kids and no income. And she couldn't work.
Incredible. Incredible. Oof.
Yeah. And so from that, she started drinking. She was severely depressed. And she looked at all her options, and she didn't see many. She was basically a high school dropout because she had become pregnant. She didn't have very many job skills. The kids needed both parents. And she thought she couldn't do that. So she thought the kids would be better off if she wasn't alive, and she decided that she would take her own life. It's just a place of hopelessness that is so hard to reach. So she has a friend take the children for the night. She wheels herself over to the bed, transfers from a wheelchair onto the bed. She has the pills in one hand, glass of water in the other. It's quiet. She knows that this is going to bring the relief. And then she hears her name called out. She said it was scary but comforting at the same time. So she didn't know what to do. She didn't want to hear voices. So she turned on the TV so she could have some distraction. And up popped a prayer show, and a man said, if you thought life wasn't worth living, give us a call. Janice blinked a couple of times and then called him. They prayed together. They stopped her from committing suicide. And from then on, her attitude changed, that she was going to be the mother, the best mother that she could, from a wheelchair, and raise the kids and give them a life as best that she could. Just tingling to me that that happened.
Yes. And you also said something that she, in that evening, she gave her life over to God. She gave her life over to the divine. She gave her life over to what, for her, was God and was the spirit and the presence and the divine that we all really seek comfort from. Well, maybe not all of us, but a good deal of us do. And from that point on, she then she went up to Oregon because that's where she needed to be to get away from her family, mm-hmm. and to start a new beginning, and she found a church where she became baptized, and she started her life over and actually started to have joy and to be pleased and satisfied and fulfilled with raising her children and accepting and dealing with what life had given her, which, you know, let's face it, waking up and finding yourself in the hospital and realizing you've just been paralyzed by the hand of the man that you loved more than anything, it's pretty staggering. It's a pretty staggering experience. And yet you go on to talk about, and here's the great part. Would you talk about her life moving forward from there? Because the real miracle of the story, and I want to kind of save, we're going to take a break in a minute or two. And when we come back, we can talk about the miracle of what happened to Janice in terms of her outlook, her life experience, her children, and how she was able to come to a remarkable place before she did pass on. And then we want to talk about the parallel in your life, because you also have a pretty inspiring and remarkable story to tell. So I think what we're going to do, Richard, is we'll take a break right now.
Okay.
We'll come back very shortly, everybody. Don't go anywhere. This is an important conversation that we're having with Richard Ballo, who is the author of 4 books. His most recent book is Bullets and Babies and the Will to Live, a remarkable story that you don't want to miss. So don't go away.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing Behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And we are back with Richard Ballo, who is the author of Bullets and Babies and the Will to Live, as well as three other books, one of which is Losing Lisa, I believe. Richard, yes, Losing Lisa.
Life Without Lisa.
Life Without Lisa, about the loss of his wife and the amazing impact on that. Before the break, we said you were going to come back and you were going to tell us the progression of Janice's life after she went up to Oregon. But before we do that, why don't we talk about Lisa a little bit in Life Without Lisa? Because the title alone is heartbreaking. Just the title is enough, you know, to really move you. Tell me about that book and a little bit about your wife.
Well, I met Lisa when we were in our late 20s. And the first night I saw her, there was something in her eyes that just captivated me. So we began hanging out together and getting to know each other. And finally, we became known as a couple, which sort of shocked our friends, but it didn't shock us because we just enjoyed each other's company. And we talked about our lives, going to the future. We even started investing in real estate together. So we were doing a lot of things together as a couple. And I think we had a common experience is that after we were dating a couple years, she turned to me and said, we should date other people or get serious. And as a typical guy, I had the deer in the headlights look. But when I thought about it, I realized that I wanted to get more serious with her because she was the only one for me. So I asked her to marry me. She said yes, and we got married and started having children right away. We had two children in the first 3 years of marriage. And she was, like I said, she was a nurse. She was an entrepreneur and just a really forward-thinking woman. And we had a really good life. We had not the traditional life sometimes. I left my technical writing job home and came home to raise the children while she worked. And then it became, you know, she was diagnosed with cancer. And then we fought now what are we going to do? And we sought cures all over the country. So the prognosis for her was only 6 months.
Oh,
she lasted almost 4 years.
Was it pancreatic, Richard? What kind was it?
It was cancer of the appendix.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's where they figured it had started, and it quickly metastasized to her other organs. But the miracle was we had 4 extra years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, like, how my blessing that we had that much time.
Yes, yes. And it sounded as if you had a wonderful marriage.
Well, I think so. We both waited long enough to find the right person to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And
so when Lisa passed, it sounded as if, I mean, your loss, you know, all of our losses are devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Your loss was equal to the loss of Janice's legs and, you know, her life changed radically. Your life changed radically. You found the perfect person. You loved each other. You were happy. You had two beautiful sons. And at a very early age, your wife died. I mean, that is young. That is really young, 38 years old. And so you were reeling. You were totally reeling from this. And you decided also to write a book about it. And what did you find? I'm trying to see if we can draw a parallel between your book writing about Lisa and your book writing about Janice here, okay? What in the book that you wrote about Lisa and your experience, what do you think was somewhat maybe preparing you or similar to the book you wrote about Janice?
Well, when I wrote my book, I had to understand grief, the changes that take place in the body and in the mind, and how the mind responds to grief and changes the life. Because I found it very interesting to go through it. It was obviously very difficult for me, but I found it interested in a sort of a detached way. But I figured it prepared me to write in Janice's book because I understood the transformation that has to happen in a life when we have tragedy.
Let's talk about that. You're not going to get away without talking about that, Richard. Yeah. So what is that? What is that transformation that has to take place?
Well, my whole view of myself and my outlook to the world had to change because I knew the world was going to look at me differently. So I was no longer a husband. I was no longer married. But yet I was still a man. I was still single, and I had children. I didn't want to be single. I still wanted to remain married, but that was not in the cards for me. So I had to transform my way of thinking and about how people were going to view me and see me. They were going to see me as a single father with children. You know, I didn't want people to think that I was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted them to know that I'd been widowed because divorce is a choice people make for good or bad, but it's still that choice a couple makes. But to me, it was important that I knew I'd been widowed, that I had been part of a good marriage, that I kept my word in that marriage, that I had faith and love, and that was all wrapped up in that. And that was important to me. And with Janice having to deal with hers, she had to still convince people that she was part of a marriage that was good, that she loved someone also, and that she didn't just abandon that marriage.
So and she was seen now as a disabled person. As someone in a wheelchair,
right.
As someone who was alone and a single mother. So the two of you both had to go through these transformations in terms of how you coped with what life threw at you. And so in writing her story, in talking to her for 2 years and interviewing her, what were the things that resonated? What were the things for both of you that you can look back on and say, wow, I can see why I was the person who wrote the story about Janice, and I was the one who was invited to get to know her.
Well, I think the major thing is it's love. Love of our children, love of our family, and how can we do the best where we are to help our children? I saw that right in the beginning. That's the one thing she stressed, that she just loved her children. That's why babies is part of the title of the book, because that was one of the main things that she did. She loved her children, her grandchildren, even when she was older, her great-grandchildren. She wanted to be that mother and grandmother to those children. And that's what I had to do. I had to be both mother and father, but I did what I had to do for my children to help them in life so that they would grow and be as whole as possible through their experience, just like Janice did. It was our love of our children.
Yes, and so you brought that to Janice's story, and she brought that to your book.
Right.
And you were able to resonate. You were able to connect as two human beings and as parents to what was so incredibly important to both of you. So we've got this parallel running now, and it's running up to the point where you start to interview her and you get to know her, and she is now about to move. Right? No, she's already moved, and you meet her when she's in, was it the state of Washington or Oregon that she moved to?
She moved to Oregon, but by the time I was interviewing her, She had moved back to Southern California.
Okay, so she was in Southern California.
Right.
Lucky you, you got to visit her there. That's a beautiful
right.
place. So you visit her in Southern California, and she is talking to you about what's going on for her. Now, how long ago are we talking? How many years before she passed had you actually gone out to meet her?
Let me see. She passed then. It was probably about 10 years before she passed that I actually
okay.
met her.
Okay, and lots had gone on. Lots had gone on for her. Do you want to talk about her? Well, we know she had a faith journey that was very strong. She accepted what had happened to her. And then there's this other remarkable story, this other remarkable piece of the story. And I have to tell you, this is true. I don't want this to be a spoiler alert for the listeners for next week or anything. But I just finished doing an interview with a gal who has a very interesting, similar ending to her story. So the theme here for me personally, as somebody who has the privilege of speaking with all of you, is to watch miracles unfold. I don't know what your thoughts about miracles are, and I don't know what Janice's thoughts about miracles are, but were either of you or both of you aware that there were miracles going on in both of your lives as you got to know each other and as time, you know, started to move forward?
I think individually we knew that they were happening in our lives. And one of the things that happened with Janice that showed there was a small miracle within everything else is that when she called that prayer show, the phone that she had was a pink princess phone. She naturally just took that to her with Oregon. And
mm-hmm.
when she found her church, they were having a rummage sale, so she was donating items, including that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And as she and her children were sitting around, here was her first granddaughter came running up to her with that pink princess phone. Now, the granddaughter was 1.5, didn't know the meaning of the phone, but Janice said, "This is the church we should be at. Here's the phone again." Just played a big part in her life, and that's just a small one leading up to her formal acceptance, I guess, of God and Christ, and to be baptized within that church.
So here's the thing. She donates a bunch of stuff to the church. She goes to whatever, you know, event it was. And her little granddaughter, sight unseen, doesn't know anything about the phone, right? Doesn't know even know her grandma donated the phone. She takes the phone from the rummage sale or bargain haul or whatever they're calling it and runs up to her grandmother and gives her the phone. And, I mean, seriously, like, what are the odds of something like that happening?
Right. Yeah, she couldn't believe it either, but she knew that was the church, and that's where she stayed for a while with her children and became baptized and born again in that church.
Mm-hmm.
But she said,
so,
like a ton of bricks.
So what was going on for Janet? She was alone at this point. I mean, she was still alone, you know, taking care of her kids and, you know, looking after her
mm-hmm.
family, and she was still paralyzed. She was having health issues, health problems, and she was not in a relationship with a man at that time. She hadn't been since her husband left her, correct?
Well, she tried dating,
mm-hmm.
but what she found out was that men her age wanted younger women.
Who were not in wheelchairs.
Correct.
Yes.
But she eventually found one man, and they dated for a few years, because he didn't mind. But basically, other than that, she was alone, even though she kept in touch with her husbands by phone. She was basically alone living her life.
Yeah. So the first husband, she was in touch with him even though I believe he had become abusive, correct?
Correct. That's why she divorced him, because she couldn't hide the bruises on her face anymore.
Right, right. And he was an alcoholic.
Correct.
And then her second husband, who she loved dearly, who accidentally, it was determined, shot her. You told the story how Janet herself had put the, you know, had kind of set the gun up on a table so that it was really armed and her husband didn't know that, and when he picked it up, the gun went off, and so it was an accident. So, and what became of her second husband? What became, I mean, how were they in touch with her? Were they off somewhere, and were they helping her in any way, or was she just talking to them, as it were?
She would just call them on the phone. That's how she kept in touch with them, to share stories of what the children were doing.
Right, so it was really around the children. They were connecting around the children.
Correct.
Right. So we'll fast forward a little bit more. She's born again. She's very happy. She has her children. You know, she's living a life as normally as she can. And then it seems that someone else also had a little bit of a miracle in their life, too, in her story. Yes?
Yes, I believe so.
Yes. And that someone was one of her ex-husbands, right?
Well, she was never divorced from her second husband.
Oh, she never divorced him?
She never divorced him.
Oh, boy.
She remained married to him, even though he was not in the picture.
Oh, boy.
She didn't divorce him.
Wow. So we'll reword that. Another miracle shows up in the form of her second husband kind of having an epiphany. He wasn't on a pink phone. And he wasn't about to kill himself, but he has an epiphany. So tell us about that epiphany.
Well, because they hadn't seen each other for a while, and Janice kept talking to him on the phone, but one time he kept throwing things up in her face, and she said, "I don't want to ever talk to you again." Slammed the phone down. But 7 years later, she says, "I wonder if he's still alive," because she still loved him.
Oh, boy.
Picks up the phone, calls him. He's alive, and he's sober.
Wow. I want you to stop right there, because I just blew by the second commercial stop. This story is so compelling, Richard. We're going to take a break one more time. And when we come back, remember, everybody, the ex-husband, 7 years later, is now sober, and she's found him. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Richard Ballo.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way.
What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And we're back with the story of Janice Riddle and Richard Ballo, who is the author of a book about Janice called Bullets and Babies, or is it Babies and Bullets? I don't know if I got it backwards, but Richard, this is such an amazing parallel story. You two were totally different people from different socioeconomic levels, different educational backgrounds, everything. It couldn't be more different, seriously. I mean, if you sit down and compare it side to side. And yet, you become involved in the life of a woman who's running parallel with your own in terms of grief and loss and epiphany and miracle. So we're going to get back to that point where we left off at the break, where Janice doesn't know if her husband, who she's not divorced from, is alive or dead. And she picks up a phone and she tries to get him on the phone, and lo and behold, she does. So if you could take us from there.
Right. So Ron answers the phone, and he sounds sober, and they start talking. And they agree that he will come out to visit Janice. You know, she has the image of him 30 years ago, where he's, you know, the bodybuilder, all buff and all that, and in walks this little old man, and she starts laughing, because she's not the vibrant woman she used to be either. But then they talk. He comes and visits more often, just helping her with her life. He experienced a total transformation in his thought. And instead of feeling guilty, he's now helping her with her life as often as he can. So much so that they even talk about moving in together. And eventually, about a year later, they did live together for about a year. But Janice's physical problems were just too much for him. But he was always a constant visitor in her home and helping her out and telling her how much he loves her. And for Janice, it just affirmed her belief in him. She still loved him, but above all, which is an amazing point, forgave him for the shooting and showed mercy to him. Just the hallmarks of the spirituality that we all want to have, to be able to love and forgive people who do us wrong.
Isn't that marvelous? Here is a woman whose life has been, in so many ways, just damaged beyond repair. She couldn't walk anymore. She had health problems. She suffered financially, emotionally, psychologically. I mean, just overwhelming. And she was a young woman when this happened.
Correct.
And here she is, in her later years. Little did she know that in the near future she would pass. And she opens her heart and her soul to forgive and to show mercy and understanding in a situation that so many of us would just be crumbled by, be crushed by, be overwhelmed by. And it's quite a testimony to her that she did not get what she wanted from life necessarily, or from love or from marriage when she was younger, but she found her spiritual self. She surrendered to what life gave her. She was living life on life's terms. One of the things you and I talked about at the pre-interview, and we shared this, I'm a big proponent. Anybody who listens to this show is fully aware of the fact that I'm very, very excited about, and I'm very committed to, and I really talk a lot on the show about angels. Because quite frankly, people, human beings, and things happen in your life that just say to you, oh my God, this person is an angel. This person has to be an angel. And they show you in the way that they show up in your life. And it sounds like you were really an angel for Janice. And she was really an angel for you. And one of the things that we know that the angels talk about, and this is like part of the dialogue if you read books about them, is that the communication is always live life on its terms and accept life as it's given to you. And it seems that maybe, do you think both of you were able to help each other to do that a little bit more?
Oh, definitely. We both were able to help each other. Because I could see the parallels in my life and hers. But I was inspired by her and her showing of love and forgiveness. And I could see that happening. And that's not a small thing to consider when somebody shoots you. And yet here I was working through it. And I realized I could aspire to what she had done, because she had set the example. And that was the angels working in both of our lives.
Exactly. And so, sadly, Janice passed away about almost 10 years ago, yeah?
Yes.
It was quite some time ago. And so you're kind of telling the after story, if you were, Richard. This is kind of like we're getting the after story, which is also very good to have, you know, to do that as well. So looking back, after she passed, your life was going to start to change, right? I mean, something was going to start to happen for you, too.
Right. I had gone through the typical relationships. Nothing was working out, you know, one after another. And it came down to I was ready to basically move on to another city, meet somebody different and all that. And I belonged to Kiwanis, and we're a civic organization of volunteers. It was getting towards Christmas, and in walked a woman who was wanted to be a guest. She had these dark black-rimmed glasses, the spiky gray and white and black hair. She had a boot on her foot from foot surgery and a great big smile on her face. And I introduced myself, showed her around. And then, like you said, these little small things started taking place between us or within me that I noticed I didn't have with anybody else. I always wanted to see where she was sitting, you know, be around her when she was talking, or even say things near her that I wouldn't say otherwise. And I started to think, what's going on here? And so basically I asked her out. We went out on our first date, or we can call it pre-date actually, because I was in graduate school, and once that day was over, I was back in graduate school and didn't ask her out again. She said, well, I'm going to go date somebody else. But about a couple months later, she started texting me. And I'm thinking, okay, something's going on here. Why does she keep texting me? But I just remained friendly, and we met. And we went out. Our second date was back in New England. School is over for me, so I'm on my motorcycle. I meet her in her hometown while she's visiting her parents. I meet her parents. We go out to dinner. And that was our official date, first date. And we just were together ever since.
Now, it had been many, many, many years for you.
Yes.
And you were not in a place for a couple of decades where you wanted to consider loving and being in love or falling in love or sharing love with someone because of the pain and the trauma that you went through with Lisa and watched Janice go through and all of the incredible drama that, you know, you've witnessed in life about what someone who you love, not only can you lose them, but they can hurt you too. I mean, it's pretty something. So here you are at 60, what were you, 61 years old? 60, 61 years old? When
met her, I was about 58 when we met.
But when you married, you were?
60 years old.
You were 60 years old when you married.
Yep.
And it was as if this woman was brought into your life kind of as an angel, because we talked about this in the pre-interview, and I found it really fascinating. I remember saying to you, I said, Richard, what were the qualities? I hear men talk a lot about the qualities that inspire them with women. And one of them is to be open of heart, of mind, of soul, to be free in their body in terms of their joy of living in their body, to have a life of their own, to be independent, to have purpose, to laugh, to accept them for the way they are. And here you are. And if I can be honest, most of us in our late 50s and 60s do not think that love is going to come through the door. Right? I mean...
Right. I was doubting it myself.
Right? Nobody says, you know, you go, you talk, especially people who are past 55. They even have special dating sites for people who are past 55.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of in the bin. We're in the used bin here. We're in the discard bin here. So here you are, a 60-year-old man who meets a lovely woman, and she inspires you, opens up your heart. And not only that, but I believe you shared with me that you really came to God through this whole process.
Well, I had my belief in God, and she had her belief. And one of the great things is that we both have a belief in joy in the Lord, that we can pray together and go to church together. It's a real spiritual connection that holds us together.
Yes.
And that we laugh with life. Life is so absurd at times. We just laugh and have a good time. Not a good time. I mean, you know, marriage is work, especially at a later date. When I was single for 20 years, I got sort of used to my ways. But we laugh at the stupid things that we do as individuals or in the marriage. It's like, okay, that's just us.
Exactly. But isn't it remarkable? Because you had witnessed something. You had witnessed how grace, the grace of our humanity, the grace of our generosity of soul, our generosity of heart. You watched Janice do almost the unbelievable. She forgave and loved a man who had, for all intent and purposes, really damaged her life irrevocably.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you were, a man whose life had felt shattered. You had felt very damaged, very wounded from the loss of your wife and your daughter. And so here was this incredible example in the form of Janice Riddle, which gave you the knowledge, the insight, the power, the strength, and the faith to open your heart again and to walk into love in a different way, Now, I know people are thinking they would love to say to you, Richard, were you afraid? You know, were you scared? Were you emotionally unavailable? I mean, you know, what was going on for you? You know, prior or at the time that you met your wife, and at the time that all this was going on, how were you feeling? Were you feeling frightened? Were you feeling nervous? Or is this where your faith started to grow and you started to really trust that happiness and love was possible again?
Well, I was in a place where I thought it wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to meet anyone. But I think faith plays a part because I was seeing and hearing things that were different. And I think that's one thing the Lord gives to us is the ability to see and hear things differently when He wants things to happen. Mm-hmm. So that helped me see Terry in a different way. And I just followed the plan, just became friends with her and was there. And yeah, there was some fear in it. I'd worked for many years being totally closed off to continually letting my guard down a little and little, a little, getting hurt several times. But I kept looking at why am I doing what I'm doing? And when Terry was there and I could see the signs, I accepted it. And we talked about life to see that we had similar backgrounds, similar values, things that were very important to us going forward. And she had gotten advice from her friend saying, yeah, he's not your typical guy that you're looking for, but give him another chance. And she's very happy she did.
Well, I think that we hear that all the time. We hear stories of, you know, we all have these illusions, delusions, fantasies, these made-up people in our mind. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I love the expression, you know, God laughs while we plan. And so, Richard, it has been just a delight to have you share your story, Janice's story. I hope she's listening somewhere. I hope she can hear this somewhere. And you have offered inspiration to many of us who sometimes we're not quite sure what's in store for us. But this has been a delight. I thank you so much for not only coming on the show, but thank you for writing Janice's story. And I'm sure her children are very, very thrilled and very, very pleased.
Well, thank you, Georgiana, for giving me this chance to talk about Janice and the inspiration that she was to me, and I believe she will be for many other people.
Yes, Richard, thank you. And listeners, don't forget to join us again for another inspiring story of living above the drama.